With rapid changes in food science, farming technology, and government regulation, your work as a food safety leader is more important than ever. Advance your career with a Master of Science in Food Safety from Michigan State University. This program is taught completely online and is designed for you, the working professional. Michigan State University, preparing students to tackle the challenges of today and tomorrow. Visit foodsafety.msu.edu and then click on the Master's Program link to learn more. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Food Safety Matters, the podcast for food safety professionals. I'm Stacey Acheson, publisher of Food Safety Magazine. But that's it. It's just me today. But why? Why, you wonder? Well, every now and again, our recording schedule gets a bit complicated, and this is one of those times, as we'll be attending IAFP during the time when we would normally be recording. But you know, we're happy to trade our normal schedule for a chance to be with some of you in person. So I hope that that's happened. But none of that changes the fact that we've got an excellent episode for you today, where you'll hear Adrian's interview with Joanne Kelleher, president and CEO of Kelleher Consultants. Joanne has held food safety leadership positions for companies around the world and has worked in pretty much every sector of the food industry, including manufacturing, food service, retail, and distribution. And additionally, we're really pleased that Joanne is the chair of the Educational Advisory Board for the 2023 Food Safety Summit, which will be held May 8th through the 11th in Rosemont, Illinois. So it's been really great working with Joanne on the summit and to get to know her better. She's so knowledgeable, and I know that you're going to get a lot out of today's discussion. But before we move along, I do want to share with you that we've been working on a very exciting lineup of webinars that are kicking off in August and, you know, basically going through the end of the year and beyond. But I'm not going to tell you about all of them. Adam told me that I can't read the whole list. So, you know, while it's very exciting, it's just too much. It's a bit mind-numbing all at once. So we're going to take it easy one step at a time. So here's what we've got going on in August. On August 18th, we'll have a webinar on ATP depletion, an overlooked concern of rapid hygiene assessments. On August 23rd, we'll focus on pathogen control in a low-moisture environment. And then on August 30th, Lone Jesperson, globally renowned food safety culture expert, will be presenting One Size Fits, How to Adapt Your Food Safety Culture Efforts to Functional Ways of Working. Now, to get the details on all of these webinars and register, visit the events page on food-safety.com, our website, where you also find all kinds of other great stuff. You can check out some news. You can subscribe to our newsletter, our e-mag, you know, listen to other podcasts. There's a lot of content there. So go, food-safety.com. But specifically for the webinars, click on that events tab and you'll get all the info. All right. So now, see how fast that happened? It's time for Adrian's interview with Joanne Kelleher, president and CEO of Kelleher Consultants, as well as a chairperson, as I just mentioned, of our Educational Advisory Board for our own 2023 Food Safety Summit. Joanne has significant global leadership experience in the food industry and in food safety and quality, having lived and worked in Ireland, the UK, France, and the US. She's worked in diverse sectors, including manufacturing, food service, retail, and distribution. She was formerly Vice President of Food Safety and Quality Assurance for Wegmans Food Markets, where her scope of responsibility included all aspects of food safety and quality for the stores, self-manufacturing, distribution, and Wegmans private label program. Prior to her tenure at Wegmans, Joanne also worked at Häagen-Dazs, Burger King, Express Foods, and Pillsbury. In addition, she's led the development of food safety and quality programs for many large and small private label suppliers and distributors. Joanne earned her BS degree in dairy and food science from University College Cork in Ireland. She's also a member of several professional organizations, including IFT and IAFP. She's past co-vice chair of the GFSI Board of Directors, a member of the Board of Directors of Stop Foodborne Illness, a longstanding member of Harvard's Private and Public Scientific, Academic, and Consumer Food Policy Committee, and is also actively involved in the Leafy Green Safety Coalition. But most importantly, Jillian is a member of the Editorial Advisory Board of Food Safety Magazine. So after a quick break, you'll hear that interview. Michigan State University is leading the way in food-related education and research. This Big Ten institution offers an MS in food safety degree, taught 100% online. With curriculum grounded in the sciences, this degree program will help you develop critical thinking skills, increase your understanding of the science of food safety, food law, and advance your leadership skills to prepare you for any food safety challenges. Visit foodsafety.msu.edu and then click on the master's program link to learn more.
Well, I am here with Jillian Kelleher, president and CEO of Kelleher Consultants, LLC, and also the chairperson of the Educational Advisory Board for the 2023 Food Safety Summit, which we are very, very excited about. So, Jillian, welcome. So nice to have you on the podcast.
Thank you, Adrian. I'm delighted to be here today.
Great. So I know we have a lot of interesting things to talk about today. And the first thing I would like to ask you about is your significant experience in the food industry and in food safety and quality. So you have held roles at Wegmans Food Markets, Haagen-Dazs, Burger King, Express Foods, and Pillsbury. And you now lead your own business management consultancy. So my question is, how has the industry changed over the time that you've worked in it? And also, how have you applied your on-the-job learnings to your consulting and advisory work?
That's quite the question, Adrian. Over the many years I've worked in the industry, it's changed immensely. Change is inevitable. If you can't adapt to change, you shouldn't be in the food industry. And here are a few key themes that I see. Globalization. It seems like the industry is getting smaller. Companies are sourcing ingredients and products from all over the world, and we are truly part of a global marketplace. There's been much consolidation evident in food categories such as meat and dairy, and this has taken place both nationally and globally. There's been a growth of private brands. In the late 80s in the UK, the food production facility where I worked received many retail audits for their private label products. Private brand presence and penetration have grown significantly in the US since then. In 2021, private label brand penetration was approximately 18% across grocery categories, both online and in-store, and some retailers were over 20%. Third-party certification. Early in my career, I had the opportunity to work with the first dairy company in the world, Express Foods, to become BS 5750 or ISO 9000 certified, as they called it back then. I saw firsthand the benefit a process-oriented and systems approach could bring to the operation, its employees, and ultimately the customer. British retailers had strong private label programs even back then. The Global Food Safety Initiative was launched in 2000 by a group of CEOs of food companies concerned about an erosion in consumer confidence and a desire to reduce the number of supplier audits taking place. GFSI benchmarked various food safety standards, including the BRC out of the UK, Safe Quality Food out of Australia, against their requirements and recognized those that were successful. In 2008, Walmart wrote to their suppliers requiring GFSI third-party certification, and other major retailers followed. Consumer needs. These have certainly evolved over time. Consumers began looking for time-saving convenience foods such as bagged salads, prepared foods. They started looking for healthier foods to feed themselves and their families, including fresh produce, minimally processed foods with fewer ingredients, organic and local foods. In recent years, customers have sought greater transparency, and they want to know where their food's coming from, how it is made, how it is grown. They've become more environmentally conscious, mindful of sustainability, food waste, you name it, food waste, recyclable packaging, climate change, ethical sourcing. It's on their mind all the time. A crisis can be a game changer. Just look at the impact COVID has had and continues to have globally. With regard to consumer confidence, based on my experience, the food industry took a number of hits due to various food supply crises. If you think back, such as BSE, the horse meat scandal, dioxin, foodborne illness outbreaks related to E. coli 0157H7 in ground beef, later in spinach, in romaine lettuce, think Listeria monocytogenes in deli meats, salmonella in peanut butter, incidents of food fraud, the list goes on. Crisis in the industry, foodborne illness and outbreaks and investigations, complex rolling and expanded recalls, criminal charges being brought to several food company CEOs, all contributed over time to an erosion in consumer trust and confidence. Other observations over time, scientific and regulatory changes. A preventive approach to food safety, HACCP, Hazard Analysis and Critical Control Point, was implemented by many food companies. The HACCP system consists of 7 principles. They have international acceptance and were published by Codex in 1993, and the National Advisory Committee for Microbiological Criteria for Foods back in 1992. A company I worked with implemented HACCP for all its dairy production facilities beginning in the late 80s. It later became a regulatory requirement for the USDA and the FDA for various food categories, seafood HACCP, meat HACCP, and later in the preventive control section of the FDA's FSMA, Food Safety Modernization Act, back in 2011. Labeling and identification of the Big 8 food allergens came with FDA's Food Allergen Labeling and Consumer Protection Act back in 2006. New science emerged over time, such as rapid testing and whole genome sequencing, which enables better investigation of foodborne illness outbreaks and helps us get to identify the root cause. E-commerce.
Well, there's such a lot of changes here, Adria. This is for sure, okay? And I'm delighted to have been party to all that's happened. Online shopping and home delivery. In my opinion, e-commerce has been a major game changer for our industry. It is expected to account for 20% of the US grocery market by 2026. It has undoubtedly helped to drive the mindset change we need and is pulling all of the industry, especially the retailers, forward through the use of technology to help address increased consumer expectations. With the internet came the desire for immediate information and increased connectivity through social media. We have come a long way from the filing cabinets of food safety and quality documentation that I remember when I first started. Today, while we use technology solutions for product lifecycle management, recall management, risk assessment tools, data and predictive analytics, artificial intelligence, not to mention Zoom calls and remote facility audits, we still need to embrace technology further. For example, when it comes to traceability. The FDA's focus on embracing a new era of smarter food safety by leveraging the use of new and emerging technologies is helping with that. The food safety and QA profession. There are certainly many more women in quality assurance management roles today than when I first started in industry. Also, a point of note, there is a changing of the guard underway. Some leading figures in the food industry, both male and female, have retired. And we don't want all that industry and scientific knowledge to be lost. It is imperative that we find a way to capture that knowledge and pass that baton effectively from one generation to the next to develop the future leaders of our industry.
That is a really great review of a lot of big changes that have happened in, you know, the past several decades. And I mean, you know, when you look at, you talked about consumer needs and changes in consumer needs and consumer trust. And I think a lot of what we're seeing with changes in technology and, you know, the new options and enablements that we have from all of the, you know, things that are happening in the digital world are playing into, you know, consumers' expectations and consumer needs and how that's going to affect the food industry, how it is affecting the food industry. So very, very interesting observations there, Jillian, and I thank you for sharing those with the audience. So another thing I want to talk to you about is that you have led the development of food safety and quality, or FSQ, as we'll call it, programs for many large and small private label suppliers and distributors. So what are some of the special FSQ and business concerns that you take into account when you work with private label suppliers versus brands, for example?
Sure. Brand protection is critical for every food company, whether you're engaged with private label suppliers, or whether you have a regional or a national or a global brand, or both. That being said, in the supply chain, retailers and food service companies are closer to the consumers than manufacturers. That proximity is a wonderful source of feedback. Responding to it and actively listening to and engaging with your customers can help build trust and confidence over time. Consumer trust is precious, and you never want to lose it. Suppliers need to understand that the retailer has a special relationship with the customers who shop their stores every week. This close connection retailers have with the customers impacts and influences their partnership with their suppliers and distributors when it comes to food safety and quality requirements, and can bring them in turn closer to the customer as well. That relationship and customer feedback influences finished product specifications for private label products sold in the store. This logically extends back to ingredients, process and packaging specifications, and forward to in-store food preparation as well. You need to understand what your retail partner needs to be successful and work together to deliver on that. Retailers may work with all sorts of suppliers, producers and distributors. They could be small, medium and large. As a private label supplier, you must ensure your company complies with your retail partner's food safety and quality requirements. Retail supplier partnerships done right can be powerful. With everyone pulling in the same direction, a commitment to high standards, and an emphasis on both companies being the best they can be, such a partnership will include regular communication and information sharing. There may be employee training opportunities, education, supplier symposia, all to help both partners align on common goals. That retailer will bring their suppliers along with them in a mutually beneficial partnership where you can learn from each other and continuously improve the products and processes for the betterment of the consumer. Now, here's an interesting point of difference, I would see. While a manufacturer will handle their own product recalls, if and when the need arises, retailers must manage recalls for every product impacted by a recall that is sold on their shelves. Retailers become very skilled at handling recalls because they get so much practice. If a recall is handled poorly, it can impact the trust their customers have in that company. If recall mismanagement happens repeatedly, an erosion in consumer confidence will certainly take place. The best way to address that is to have supplier partners fully versed and current on the retailer's recall management procedures and knowing how to execute on their process and who to contact and when.
That's really interesting. And, you know, as you said, that, you know, retailers get lots of practice with this because just from the sheer number of food products that they carry in their stores, inevitably, there's going to be, you know, from time to time, products that need to be recalled. And so, having a supplier that you can work closely with to be able to stay on top of, you know, what do we have to do? What are the protocols? Making sure that all the information is being exchanged efficiently, expediently between that supplier and the retailer so that that product can get removed from the shelves as quickly as possible. That's so important. So that's a great thing to highlight, the importance of that relationship. So looking at FSQ programs within a food company, now you emphasize that management, commitment and collaboration with senior leadership is key to the success of FSQ programs. So in your experience, what does it take to achieve management buy-in for FSQ elements that may not be well understood by senior leadership?
For me and my experience, would say that leadership commitment for food safety and quality needs to come from the top of the organization, be it large or small, that doesn't matter. This will influence the culture of the company. Food safety needs to be identified as the top priority for a food company. As Danny Wegman, chairman of Wegman's Food Markets, has often stated, if you were a food company, food safety had better be your number one priority. Your company's approach should be all about prevention. We all obviously want to prevent a food safety incident from happening in the first place. HACCP, Hazard Analysis Critical Control Point, should be the core of your food safety system. Understand that your employees are key to making everything happen, and they need to understand why their roles are so important, especially when it comes to achieving high standards for food safety and quality. You need to adopt a process and systems approach to both. Be willing to educate and support others when it comes to food safety and quality. Stay current on the issues. Research and implement solutions. And if you don't know the answers, tap into your resources and network to find them out. You need to build a level of understanding and appreciation for the basics in food safety and quality. This extends throughout the company, from senior leadership down to your hourly employee and your part-timer. HACCP, prerequisite programs, good manufacturing practices, cross-contamination specifications. You build up all this sort of awareness and basic understanding over time. Boil down your messages. Be clear, succinct, and consistent in your food safety messaging. Adopt a continuous improvement mindset. You can always be better. Also, realize that consumer needs change, science changes. The industry changes. Your company needs to be able to adapt, flex, and be open to doing things differently in order to be able to continuously improve.
Those are some great reminders of, you know, essential elements to have in place to, you know, enable a successful FSQ program. And then also, you know, a lot of the, you know, major messages that I think, you know, can be delivered in, you know, a succinct and efficient way to help people in the organization at all levels to be able to help, you know, bring about the success of that program. So yes. Those are great perspectives, Jillian. Thanks for sharing that. Now, I also want to talk about, now you work with Stop Foodborne Illness, the consumer advocacy group. And I'm wondering, how do you think that groups like this can best work with industry to improve safety and decrease the risk of foodborne illness? And, you know, also, what do you think are the takeaways for industry from working with consumer advocacy groups such as Stop Foodborne Illness in terms of implementing actionable changes to operations or business practices?
Well, I believe that consumer advocacy groups such as Stop Foodborne Illness can best work with industry to improve food safety and decrease the risk of foodborne illness through collaboration with food safety leader companies who do not believe that food safety should be competitive. The Alliance to Stop Foodborne Illness is an initiative of the parent organization Stop Foodborne Illness, plus leading food companies and organizations committed to the goal of preventing foodborne illness by utilizing compelling personal stories of individuals and families who have been severely impacted or impacted severely by foodborne illness. The Alliance was formed in early 2018 and has grown considerably since then, and there are now 18 companies involved. The Alliance approach is grounded in strong alignment amongst many industry leaders and consumer and food safety advocates on the goal of preventing illness through best practices, to answer your question, continuous improvement, and strong food safety cultures. The vision is that conveying compelling stories illustrates the consequences of foodborne illness, and that will motivate people at all levels of industry to follow their established science protocols every day to ensure the safety of our food supply. For me, these compelling stories put a face on foodborne illness and make it real. They're very powerful to share with employees. For example, in manufacturing, food service, or retail settings, to reinforce why their food handling and preparation jobs are so important and why they need to be doing their utmost to prevent an issue from happening. The three-pronged mission that the Alliance for Foodborne Illness has is to forge partnerships to build and support strong food safety cultures, design and implement innovative, well-tailored training programs that make compelling personal stories an integral motivational element of food safety culture. Expand the reach and impact of those personal stories through outreach to the small and medium companies who are key contributors to modern supply chains. Current priorities being worked on include a food safety culture toolkit, recall modernization, which is a massive topic right now, an adopt a family program, and customized videos, including a C-suite video designed for companies to share internally.
Well, that's great to hear about all of the resources that the Alliance to Stop Foodborne Illness has. And, you know, certainly we urge our listeners to make use of those resources in your own organization, you know, especially that newly released Food Safety Culture Toolkit. There's a great wealth of resources on that website. And so definitely take a look at that. So, kind of looking more at the technical side of things versus, you know, maybe the culture side of things. Jillian, my next question for you is, how do you think that companies can build cohesive teams with strong technical skills to achieve successful leadership in food safety?
Sure. Companies, first and foremost, need to hire the right people. You need to invest in your employees and processes to ensure you have the resources in place to be successful. Understand that your employees are key to making everything happen, and they need to understand the importance of their roles. They need to be provided with the right tools and training to be able to do their jobs or their work easily and effectively. Empower your employees to do the right thing. Foster talent in your organization. Instill in your food safety employees a sense of ownership and pride in their work. They are making a difference in enabling the supply of safe and wholesome food for consumers. Actively work on relationship building within the team, with other departments and stakeholders within the company. There should be no mixed messages. You need to lead by example, walk the talk, so to speak. Be approachable and available to help. Show up. Build relationships through accessible, two-way communication, coaching and educating, for example, on the why behind food safety. Play to everyone's strengths. Be transparent. When you encounter a difficult situation or problem, be persistent. Don't give up. Be constructive and open to critique and different points of view. Anticipate. Always be on the lookout for emerging issues and hot topics or concerns and try to get ahead of them. Be vigilant, stay on your toes, keep an eye on the bigger picture. You need consistent, as I have said before, and this is a theme that's coming through here, Adrian, you need consistent and persistent communication when it comes to food safety. Share the company's food safety vision and strategy. Food safety happens to be full of acronyms, you know that, I know that. Just focus on familiarizing everyone with the most important ones over time. The leadership style must be one of mutual respect. Be inclusive. This implies and extends to suppliers, employees, service providers, and academics. We can and do learn from each other. Partner with local universities and colleges. Student internships are a great way to build a talent pool to draw from over time. Bring in external subject matter experts. Leverage your connections with universities, food suppliers, equipment manufacturers for training courses, and invest in ongoing employee professional development and education. Last but not least, I will say strive for continuous improvement.
That's a really great list of things, Jillian. And I like what you said about making sure that people are, you know, taking note of the hot topics and keeping updated, because, you know, if you think about it, what we do at our companies and what we do in food safety is tied directly to public health. And, you know, just as in the medical field where we expect, you know, medical professionals and physicians to keep up to date on, you know, trends and innovations in medicine, you know, I think in the food industry and in food safety, we also need to be aware of, you know, what new is happening, you know, what should we be doing, what are some better strategies, best practices, what has changed, you know, what things are on the horizon for the future, because, you know, what we're doing in our facilities and in our work is directly impacting public health.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I also want to talk about, you're heavily involved with a number of trade organizations and their conferences, including GFSI, AIFP, IFT, and you're now chairing our own Food Safety Summit, which we're very excited about. So how do you think that these organizations and events help contribute to the advancement of industry knowledge and practice? And also, what do you hope to bring to the summit in 2023?
Well, I firmly believe that industry organizations and their events, be they conferences, symposia, summits, initiatives, can contribute greatly to the advancement of knowledge and best practice for food safety and quality. Food safety and quality professionals need to stay connected. When there is new science or a best practice to be communicated and shared, such organizations can help get that information out there and influence others to effect positive change. They can also offer training courses in support of the new science or best practice, and that way can help meet, if it's an organization, for example, their members' needs. Great examples of this would be, in my book, Listeria Control and Sanitary Design courses introduced by the American Meat Institute for their members, which ended up actually benefiting much of the industry. The Food Industry Association, formerly known as FMI, Food Marketing Institute, has great resources available for its members on how to best manage product recalls. Collaboration can be a powerful way to drive positive change for consumers, and for most companies, food safety is not competitive. As an example, the Global Food Safety Initiative, with its mission of safe food for consumers everywhere, affords food safety professionals a wonderful opportunity to stay connected through their extensive network. Through GFSI, you can stay current on topics like third-party certification, auditor competence, and capability building. Another example is the Center for Produce Safety. CPS is focused exclusively on providing the produce industry and government with open access to the actionable information needed to continually enhance the safety of produce. Their mission is funding science, finding solutions, fueling change. I was fortunate to attend their annual symposium recently. There were research presentations, future leader development discussions, sessions on how to make produce-related research outcomes more practical for the industry to use. Yet another great example is the International Association for Food Protection, or IAFP, which is committed to advancing food safety worldwide. Members can attend the annual IAFP conference and participate throughout the year in meetings and professional development groups. So, to answer your question now, Adrian, when it comes to the Food Safety Summit, what's going on? We are currently in the process of reviewing Educational Advisory Board membership and looking to expand the esteemed board that we have as we begin to plan for the 2023 summit. I am excited to bring new board members to the table. Food safety leaders in industry with great ideas, strong track records, and collaborative mindsets. You can expect to see more retailer and food service engagement before and during the summit, along with greater representation from the fresh produce industry. Modernizing traceability and compliance with Section 204 of the FDA's Food Safety Modernization Act is another hot topic, which will be on everyone's mind in 2023.
Well, we're definitely looking forward to what you're bringing to the summit in 2023, Jillian, not only with new board members to add to our outstanding Educational Advisory Board, but also some of the greater focus on those areas you mentioned. And so we're very excited to have you chairing the summit in 2023. And also, I just have to mention, I'm a little bit jealous that you got to go to CPS, because I see those research presentations. I read about all of the studies that are funded through you know, CPS in conjunction with the different various grants and things like that. And wow, they're so interesting, and there's so much good work being done there. And so I'm sure it was a fascinating event, and certainly great for networking as well. But CPS is a great organization, and I think that, you know, they're doing some great work. So
yeah. I totally agree with you, and I think it's one to watch, and the approach they're taking is the right one and what's mm-hmm. needed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I'm going to ask you a couple broader questions now. I'm wondering, just as an FSQ professional, what would you say are your guiding principles for success in general?
I would say try to find a company that shares your values and is a good fit for you. Nurture the passion you have. I'm taking it as a given that you have a passion for food safety and quality if you're entering into this profession. Strive for the highest standards and stay current on food science, technology, and best practices. Focus on prevention of food safety issues in the first place. Be open to learning and embrace learning opportunities. Listen attentively. Pay close attention to your customers, both internal and external. Be accessible when it comes to food safety and QA, and let people know you're there to help. Build relationships, both internal and external, to your organization. Be humble and seek to better understand the issues. You can't know everything. Learn who to turn to and where to get answers when needed. From trusted advisors, academics, laboratories, service providers, trade associations, other food safety and quality colleagues, both within your company and externally. In the absence of data, take a common sense approach. Embrace continuous improvement. You can always be better, and avoid complacency, and be willing to flex and adapt. That's the change management component. Stay connected to the industry, cultivate your network. Trade associations and professional organizations, we mentioned IAFP, IFT is another one. They're fantastic resources to help you be successful. We may all be at different stages of our careers, but coming together as participants or members or attendees through working groups and events helps us knowledge share, develop business relationships, and learn from each other.
That's fantastic. And, you know, I think that some of the things you just mentioned are going to lead into my next question, but what advice would you give to young professionals who are considering a career in food safety and quality?
Well, having worked in many roles in multiple countries and with a variety of product categories and food sectors as I advanced my career, each time I moved, I found myself become more discerning about what I was seeking in an employer. For me, the company's employees should be proud of who they work for. That speaks to the values of the company. The customer is held in the highest esteem, and I can make a difference. Those are the three things I ended up looking for. I recommend that you research food companies you admire. You can take a look at resources such as the Fortune list of top 100 companies to work for to identify the food companies on that list. Make your list, go to the company websites and study them. Identify any opportunities they might have and when to apply, and prepare well. Once you're employed by a company, you'll be able to apply when ready for any other food safety and quality opportunities that present themselves there. There are many facets to the food industry, and it is a fascinating industry to be in and can be very rewarding as a career. I started out in Ireland. I moved to the UK. I moved to France and then on to the US, all the while working with food companies. I have been fortunate to travel all over the world, working with suppliers and engaging in food industry efforts. You need to work at building professional relationships. Make sure you stay connected to your university or your college and cultivate that network. Forge connections with the industry. LinkedIn is an easy way to do that. Professional development groups are another way to become engaged. Attend industry food safety and quality conferences and events when those opportunities present themselves.
That's fantastic advice, Jillian. And, you know, I asked you about young professionals, but considering a career, but also I think that advice is equally applicable to professionals working in FSQ who are earlier in their careers and maybe feel like, you know, they are a little stuck or need to freshen up what they're doing or just are looking for, what is the right thing, the right direction for them to be going in, or if they're ready to make a change. So, Great advice, and appreciate you sharing those perspectives with us. And thank you again, Jillian, for being on the podcast. And we are really looking forward to you as our chairperson for the Food Safety Summit in 2023. So we thank you for being here, being our guide for that, and looking forward to working with you on that. And here's to 2023.
Thank you very much, Adrian. You're very welcome. And I too am very much looking forward to partnering with all of you to leading us towards a really successful 2023 summit. So all the best. Thanks very much.
Thanks again to Jillian Kelleher for joining us on the podcast today. And of course, thanks to all of you for listening. A very special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Michigan State University. Please visit foodsafety.msu.edu and then click on the Master Program link to learn more about their Master of Science in Food Safety. And please don't hesitate. Send us questions. Send us suggestions at podcast@food-safety.com or post a note on Twitter, LinkedIn, or Facebook. We're always excited to hear from you. To make sure that new and bonus episodes magically appear in your podcast player, just click that follow or subscribe button in your podcast player, and presto, Food Safety Matters episodes will appear in your podcast feed. And while you're there, go ahead, throw some stars our way by rating the podcast. It only takes a minute, and it's fun and good for everyone. All right, that's it for us today. Our next regular episode will post on August 23rd. In the meantime, take good care of yourselves and those around you, and we'll talk to you then.